I'd actually like to insert Dr. Hart's case because I think it sort of follows up on some of these safety issues with hormonal therapy.
This patient is a 57-year-old postmenopausal female. She had an abnormal mammogram in October of 2003, and her biopsy was found to have DCIS. She had about a 6-millimeter tumor. It was removed at a lumpectomy. Grade 2, it was estrogen receptor positive and progesterone receptor negative. She'd had a previous TAH done a number of years before that with no oophorectomy, but was postmenopausal. It was for benign disease that she had the hysterectomy. And she'd been on hormone replacement therapy prior to the diagnosis of the DCIS and stopped it at that point. So she had, again, her lumpectomy and had radiation therapy, which was completed in December of that year. So I then saw her for consideration of adjuvant hormonal treatment. She was started on tamoxifen, but tolerated this extremely poorly. She had weight gain. She'd started up with a few hot flashes at the cessation of the hormonal replacement therapy, but these got a lot worse. She had a weight gain of about 11 pounds and also diarrhea and some vaginal discharge and was extremely unpleased by all of this. So she came back to see me in the office. We made a decision to switch her to Arimidex as a hormonal therapy. We also had her on some agents for her hot flashes that she'd gotten from a primary care physician with SSRIs.
How long has she been on the anastrozole?
She's been on the Arimidex now for about 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
What's happened to her weight on the Arimidex?
Well, she hasn't exactly lost weight. She's still a little bit on the heavy side, but she's not continued to gain. The diarrhea has gotten better. She's substituted a few joint aches, but it's been tolerable, and she stayed on the aromatase inhibitor.
George?
I think the first question you always ask in a patient with ductal carcinoma in situ from an adjuvant setting is, what are your therapeutic goals? And when I sit down with a patient who has a ductal carcinoma in situ who's had lumpectomy and radiation therapy, the databases that we have involving therapeutics are largely the NSABP databases. Those databases clearly suggest that there's an improvement in local regional recurrence rates if one administers adjuvant tamoxifen to a woman who has an estrogen receptor positive DCIS. We have surprisingly little data on anastrozole or any AI in this setting. I think it's certainly reasonable to believe that an AI would be as good as tamoxifen in this setting, because it's certainly in every other place in breast cancer where we've looked, it's been at least as good as tamoxifen, if not better. However, having said that, I think a question you'd have to ask is, what is this woman's likelihood of having a local regional recurrence? And does that justify giving her an AI in this setting? With a 6-millimeter DCIS, moderately differentiated, mm-hmm. not high grade?
No, not high grade. Grade 2.
Without comedonecrosis?
Correct.
And with decent margins of surgical resection?
Yes.
You would look at that patient and say that that's a patient who certainly has less than a 5% baseline risk of recurrence with lumpectomy and radiation therapy alone. So you have to have a drug that's pretty well tolerated to justify the benefit in this setting. And so this is certainly a patient, if you had any toxicity at all, you would feel very happy throwing away the drug. You'd also, of course, have to tell the patient that we have no current data that adjuvant therapy for patients with ductal carcinoma in situ has saved the life of a single patient on the planet. And based on that, to be honest, if this patient had been in my clinic, I might have given the good old college try with tamoxifen, but then I might have thrown away further therapeutics when she had the trouble with the tamoxifen. I'm not saying that this is a wrong approach, because it's quite possible that the NSABP will subsequently show us that AIs are quite effective in this setting. But I would start off by saying that this was a patient who had a very, very low risk of local regional recurrence. If we ask the question, who among patients with ductal carcinoma in situ has a relapse, an in-breast relapse? We basically have very little data about systemic relapses. But if we look at in-breast relapses in a patient with ductal carcinoma in situ after lumpectomy and radiation therapy, well, the first thing is margin. If you have decent marginal status, the rate is very, very low. Nuclear grade is probably important. Presence of comedonecrosis are probably important. If one excludes all three of those things as risk factors, the risk is actually quite low. And indeed, in the original NSABP positive trial, part of why it was positive is that it allowed patients to be included who had positive margins of resection.
Peter, of course, this question of anastrozole specifically versus tamoxifen DCS is being looked at by the NSABP. It's also being looked at in the United Kingdom in the IBIS trial. It gets into this issue again of if a strategy is being used in a large phase 3 study, is it reasonable to consider it off study? What are your thoughts about this generic issue as it relates to an AI in DCIS?
I think that you could justify giving an AI. For this particular patient, I think that the actual stopping of all hormonal therapy would be perfectly reasonable because I don't think you're compelled to do anything. And even the NSABP studies, which are huge, don't show a survival advantage. So we're talking about the kinds of recurrences that usually would be salvaged by additional therapy and are going to be quite rare anyway. I think that in general, the idea of treating someone as per a clinical trial is something that I think we all do. And occasionally what I say to a patient is, we don't know that this is the right thing to do, but if it was the wrong thing to do, there are already 1,000 women that have gotten this therapy, and the Data and Safety Monitoring Committee would have stopped the trial. That doesn't mean, however, that you can guarantee that it's safe or that it's effective. Those are still uncertainties. But the idea that there's something horribly wrong with this therapy is unlikely. I think that on the other side of this question, though, is the idea, the difficult situation where you're deciding between no therapy and getting a therapy. And there are lots of instances where the therapy has been worse than the disease or worsened the situation. So I think that it shouldn't be presented to the patient in a way where the patient feels compelled to get the therapy.
Bill?
Just a corollary to this, what is the recommendations for patients that have DCIS? And I've seen a few of these that have positive lymph nodes in terms of systemic therapy. Should they be treated any differently than a patient with invasive cancer and involved axillary lymph nodes?
So H&E positive node.
Yep.
Peter?
I think the first thing to do in these cases is to define what's meant by positive node and also to think about what the DCIS was in the breast. If somebody comes in with a 6-centimeter DCIS in their breast and they've got a clear half-centimeter focus in node, that's a node-positive breast cancer patient to me. And it's just they haven't been able to find the invasive component within the breast. However, if a patient comes in with a 6-millimeter tumor and a few cells in the node, I'm likely to think that that's a DCIS. And then, of course, there's a range of cases in between, and where you cut the line is, I think, a real judgment call for which I don't think there's hard data. But I think that there are some patients who have a few cells in a node that may have been stirred into there by the process of biopsy that then subsequently get overtreated. And on the other hand, I think that that a modest-sized DCIS can't be pathologically evaluated completely. And so nodal positivity in that kind of case, from my point of view, indicates the patient has an invasive breast cancer.
George, this woman gained 11 pounds in 3 months on tamoxifen, hasn't gained any weight now in 2 years on Arimidex. Does tamoxifen cause weight gain?
Well, certainly my patients all swear that it does. In randomized placebo-controlled trials, tamoxifen does not cause weight gain. So one could argue that my patients are wrong, but my patients are good, honest Hoosier housewives, so they may well be right, and maybe our randomized trials are wrong.
Peter, do you want to weigh in?
I would just say that if you take a look at the data from the P1 prevention trial, which is a placebo-controlled trial, there was no change in weight.
Susan?
You've had two things in this woman, though. She stopped her hormone replacement therapy as well as went on tamoxifen, and coming off hormonal replacement therapy is one reason to gain weight, so it's hard to pin it totally on the tamoxifen.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point. And leaving aside this patient, but patients in general, the last drug you give the patient tends to get a lot of the blame for what goes on after that. And so, you know, a woman who's been through an initial surgical biopsy, a lumpectomy, maybe then a mastectomy, adjuvant chemotherapy, post-lumpectomy or mastectomy radiation therapy, and then goes on the poor hormonal drug, the hormonal drug pretty routinely takes the blame for everything that's happened before that's changed the woman's metabolism in the 9 months of treatment leading up to going on that hormonal therapy.
This concludes the first CD. For more from Meet the Professors, please turn to the second CD.